Hello everyone and welcome to The Stagey Place, the podcast where we here chat to writers, directors, producers, designers, anyone and everyone who works behind the scenes in theatre to create the magic that you see on stage. And if you're a big fan of circus and cabaret, well, today's episode is especially for you, as we have Nathan Price, one of the co-creators behind Sophie Surprise 29th, on our podcast today. Sophie Surprise 29th is currently playing at the Underbelly Boulevard in London until June, and on the day of release of this episode, I am going to be heading down to see the show. So, if you'd like to know all of my thoughts, then make sure you're following us on all the socials. We're on Instagram, X, and TikTok at The Stagey Place. So let's get straight into today's episode with Nathan Price from Sophie Surprise 29th. Hello, Nathan, and welcome to The Stage Place. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me. You are, I think, in the dressing room because you're about to do a show this evening of Sophie's Surprise 29th. Is that right?
Yes, we are. So I found the one sort of quiet, secluded spot in the whole venue. We had press night yesterday, which is like the proper opening, and we're still tweaking, just kind of fine-tuning and perfecting the last couple of details. So there's still rehearsal happening throughout the building.
Yeah.
But I've snuck away for a little chat.
Absolutely. And I've really appreciate you chatting with me today. So Nathan, talk to me a little bit about how you got involved with Sophie's Surprise 29th. Where does it start?
Sophie's Surprise 29th really came from the three of us. So there's three of us in charge. It's me, the woman I work with and who I've worked with for 15 years now, Isis Clegg Vinyl, and then another circus artist from London, Catherine Arnold. And we were just kind of lamenting the lack of a sort of strong British circus company to kind of rival, not rival in the sense of a rivalry, but just kind of to exist in the same space as things like GOM or Circa or The Fingers or Le Clique, because there just sort of isn't one in England for whatever reason. And I think more and more, like at last Fringe, there was ours and there were Rebel Pucks who are good friends of ours. So it's happening. But we really wanted to kind of put our stamp on it and put our mark on it and do our own version of what we felt crazy good circus looked like.
Yeah. And so tell me where the premise of this show in particular came from.
Oh, that's a tangled web. So in the sort of tail end of the pandemic, me and Isis were talking to a theater about this idea of like a British pop culture cabaret show. So we were kind of talking about like, okay, maybe one of the acts is Peaky Blinders. We were going to do like a satirical take on, there's like a burlesque act where people do stuff in a martini glass, and we wanted to do it in like a giant Sports Direct mug. And so we kind of already started looking at all these ideas of how to reference British pop culture in a circus and cabaret context. And then that idea sort of died, and we went and did other things after the pandemic. And then the three of us sat down one day and we're like, okay, we want to do this. Like, let's make a show. We want to push something. And sort of off the back of that, then we kind of shifted like, okay, what if we gave it like more of a conceptual thing? And initially it was going to be kind of tracking a whole sort of British night out. So we were going to do like the pre-game as a sort of house party, and then you go to Wetherspoons, then you go to a club, and then you have the afters. And then we started thinking about that, and it was like, okay, that's a little complicated to like have to sort of change venues within the show. So we're like, okay, what if it's just a house party? Because that's, I think, like a very, not uniquely British, but I think everyone has that experience of being like 16, 17. When I was 16, 17, we used to call it a free yard. And someone's parents would not be home, and you would go and you would have a house party. And so it sort of started there. And then I can't remember how it sort of shifted from that to a surprise birthday party. Because then we were like, okay, whose birthday is it? Like, which one of the cast? And then we were like, well, that kind of really like constricts us a little bit. So we were like, oh, what if it's just someone from the audience? Because me and Isis in our careers had done Queen of the Night in New York, which was like incredibly groundbreaking at the forefront of immersive theater in the States, where we did absolutely insane things with the audience and interaction there. And then me and Isis have also done these dinner shows in the States called Teatro Zanzani that have this element of audience interaction for the sake of comedy and what we call animation, where we're kind of milling with the audience before the show and interacting in character. And so we ended up taking the two extremes of both of these shows, like the really like, how far can you push an audience member from Queen of the Night? And then how stupid and how funny can you make these characters, and kind of put those two concepts together. And then that's where we ended up with Sophie's, where Sophie ends up being a member of the audience. And so right. the main character of the show and the titular character of the show ends up being a member of the audience. And we're kind of celebrating this woman throughout the whole evening.
Okay. And so In terms of that, then, do you pick that audience member like pre-show? Like, how does that work? Obviously, because some people might come to a show and not want to be picked. So, how do you feel about
Absolutely.
whether or not that's you or one of the other company members? I don't know, obviously, who picks it, but how do you decide who it is in the audience?
So I don't want to give away our secrets, but we have a criteria for what the perfect selfie looks like and who she is and her personality. But we would never, like, one of the sort of tenets of these shows with audience interaction is you never want to pick someone who doesn't want to be picked. Like, if you pick someone, you want them to have a good time doing it. And that's really, I would say, really one of the core tenets of the show is that the show is just a good time. We would never pick someone who didn't want to be picked. So if you're listening and you're worried, like, oh, I hate audience interaction, I don't want to go up on stage. We can tell the way you look at us, we know instantly that you don't want to do it.
Yeah,
And we'll
absolutely.
leave you alone.
And then obviously, you've spoken a little bit about like the modern take on doing these acts and stuff like this. So talk to me a little bit about the other acts that you've got in the show. What can people actually expect from the show itself?
The show itself, we kind of bill it as like circus comedy chaos. And the circus side of things, we have artists who have just the biggest wealth of experience. So we've got artists who have done Cirque du Soleil, Seven Fingers, La Clique, La Soiree, Majestic, Teatro Zanzani. Like, we're really pulling from the top levels of talent available, which means that the circus is a crazy high level. Especially at this venue, you're so close to the action. It's very intense. Like, circus is always intense because of the risk and the danger, but there's something different about it when that risk and danger is like a meter away from you.
Talk to me then a little bit about the venue, because this is the Boulevard at Underbelly. You've got the intimacy, I'm guessing, then close to the audience. How does that make you feel every night playing to an audience that is so close?
Oh my God, I love it. I think because we built the show and we directed and designed the show, we made it incredibly fun to do. Underbelly Boulevard is a brand new venue that was built really only a couple of years ago, and it's kind of state of the art. It's insane when you get inside. And I would say it's very intimate. It really feels to me like a lot of these shows take place in what's called a Spiegel tent, which is like a big Belgian tent with like a little circular stage in the center. And then the audience is kind of 360'd around us. And the setup here is very similar, but somehow they feel even closer and it feels even tighter. And I think because you don't have the loftiness and of the sort of billowing roof of the Spiegel tent, it's such a tight experience for everyone. So we're constantly playing with and interacting with and having fun with the audience in a way that you can't do if you're not that close. Part of the concept of the show is that the audience are friends of Sophie. So everyone knows Sophie, all that everyone is guests of this party. You're not coming to watch a show, you're coming to a surprise 29 that just happens to unfold into some crazy circus and some crazy comedy and some crazy chaos.
Yeah, absolutely. Nathan, I want to thank you so much for coming on to talk about Sophie's Surprise 29th. Again, it's at the Underbelly Boulevard. It sounds incredibly exciting. I'm coming to see it next week. Nathan, before I let you go, I just want to ask two questions that we ask everybody who comes onto the podcast.
Yeah.
The first is about advice that you may have for people who want to come into the area of the industry that you're in. We're talking a lot about circus today, and what I just want to ask is if anybody is listening to this as a circus act, an emerging circus performer who's maybe training at the moment and wants to come into the industry, what advice would you give to them in the next steps?
It's a great question. The sort of line between physical theatre and circus today is in the level of physicality and level of your technique. Physical theatre and circus, they're very, very close. You could almost say they're basically the same thing. It's just we use tricks. And so I think one of the sort of key things of being good at circus is being good at circus. And so your actual technical level is incredibly important to what you're able to do with your art form. Because if you're unsure of your technique, you're unable to use it as a vehicle to do something else. So if you're on stage and you're having to think or really focus on the technique and it's not something that's very high level and very ingrained in your body and in your blood, that's the only thing you can do. And I think what's nice about the cast we have is not only are they doing crazy tricks, but those crazy tricks are serving a purpose. Like, they're telling a story or they're pushing a narrative forwards or they're funny or they're eliciting sympathy from the audience. We're using the trick as more than a trick. And you can't do that if you don't have tricks and you're not very confident in those tricks. And so that's always my advice. It's like, you just got to train a lot and you just got to get really good at tricks. And then you can start doing things with your tricks. And then that's when things start to level up, is when your tricks become more than tricks.
Talking about what we spoke about earlier on with the intimacy, do you almost have to train yourself to be calm and collected when your tricks might be quite big and quite bold, performing to people who are so close to you, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's sort of one of the reasons that I think this cast is able to do this show, is because everyone's circus technique and circus skill is so refined and so good. And when you come, and this is for anyone who is a bit of adrenaline junkie, I would invite you to sit in the front row for the show. Yeah. Because that's a very intense seat. Because the skates act we did a bunch of testing to make sure that no one's going to take a skate to the face, but we're very close. You can feel the wind of the skate go by as we're spinning. That's an incredible experience for the audience, and it's an incredible experience for us. But that's only possible because of how confident we are in the technique and in the skill. Because if there was ever a question of like, oh, are we going to come off here, we can't have that happen at all, because we're so close.
Yeah, not at all. I'm sure the risk assessment for the show is quite big.
thousands of pages.
Absolutely. Well, Nathan, I want to move over to the final question. It's the title of the podcast, and that's the stagey place. And what I love to ask all of my guests is where their stagey place is. So Nathan, for you, this could be a company that has inspired you to get into circus, some artist that you saw when you were younger, or someone that you were inspired by, or maybe it's a place, let's say the Spiegel tent, or here at the Underbelly Boulevard, where you're able to perform to, you know, intimate audiences every single night with Sophie's Surprise 29. It could be anything, anyone, or any place. So Nathan, for you, whereabouts is your stagey place?
So I think if you ask circus artists of my age and sort of my generation, a lot of them would give the same answer, and they would say Traces.
Okay.
And Traces was second show by the Seven Fingers. And I saw it when I was in youth circus. So I was 15 or 16 at Sadler's Wells. Forever and all time, that is one of my favorite shows. And I still can almost remember the feeling of the work it made me want to make. And what's really interesting about Sophie's is that Sophie's is nothing like Traces. And we sort of had a really quite funny and interesting career trajectory where me and Isis did, off the back of our love for Seven Fingers, our first contract out of school was with Seven Fingers. We did Loth. And then we did Queen of the Night with Shayna Carroll, who was the director of Traces and the director of the circus for Queen of the Night. And then at one point we did Traces for a while. And we were kind of really doing this very high-end, high-concept contemporary circus. The Hand Track Trio that's in the show that we've been working as a part of for like 2 years now, we did the same thing. We made this really like high concept, beautifully striking, beautifully contemporary act for circus festivals. And we went and we won a lot of awards, and it was incredible. But sort of by that point in my career, I'd realized what I wanted, actually what I really enjoyed was being funny and doing fun, rather than like trying to make people cry out because it was so beautiful. We really wanted to move to making people cry because it was so funny. And really, there's a sort of a lot of that humanity and emotion and humor in Traces as well. When I look at it from what used to inspire me to kind of what still inspires me, but where we are now, it's like a huge shift. Like if you saw Traces and you saw Sophie's, you would be like, there's no way these people were attached or the same thing. But I think that's one of the things that's really exciting for me about Sophie's, is that we've taken all of these high concept things about how contemporary circus works and how circus as a storytelling device and circus as an emotional device works. Yeah. And we've applied them to this essentially sort of quite lowbrow, quite silly, quite fun concept. But the stupidness of the show is very clever when you look underneath it. I love the idea of stagey place, and I love the idea that there's like incredible high-end contemporary concept and artistic approach underlying all the stupidity of Sophie's. And again, that's sort of something that's only possible with how good this cast is and how experienced this cast is, because it is really high-end circus done stupidly but very cleverly.
It sounds like you're very passionate about the piece. It's why I ask that question, really, because, you know, yeah, it brings it back to the work that you're creating today, which is wonderful. Well, Nathan, thank you so much for coming on the Stage Place again to join us from your dressing room at the Underbelly Boulevard for Sophie's Surprise 29th, which is currently running until June. We'll have all of the ticketing info in our episode notes wherever anybody is streaming this episode. And if they are listening on the day of release, it's also the same night that I am coming to see Sophie's 20.
Oh, okay.
I am very excited. And I don't know if it's unreserved seating or whatever, but if I can sit in the front, then I will.
It is. So it is unreserved. So if you get there, if you get there a little early, you'll get a good spot.
Amazing. Well, I will be sure to do that on the night. But for now, Nathan, thank you so much for joining me.
Incredible. Thank you so much for having me.
And there we go. That was my interview with Nathan Price, one of the co-creators and performers in Sophie's Surprise 29th, which is currently playing at the Underbelly Boulevard in London. If you're intrigued by the show and would like to look at tickets, then please do check out our episode notes, where you'll find a hyperlink to the website where you can learn more about the show and find out when you can go and see it whilst it's on in London. As I said in the introduction, I'm off to see the show on the very same day that this episode is released, on Wednesday the 24th of April. And if you'd like to know all of my thoughts, then please do check out our social media, Instagram, X and TikTok at The Stagey Place. Join us next week when we'll have Mark and Clive from Captain Amazing, which is coming back to London to celebrate its 10th anniversary at the Southwark Playhouse. I'm very excited for you to listen to this interview, so please do make sure to check out The Stage Place next week for our interview on that one. But for now, I'd just like to thank Nathan Price for coming on to today's episode to talk about Sophie's Surprise 29th. I'd like to thank you, the listener, for checking out this episode, and until the next time you'd like to join us here on The Stage Place, I hope you're keeping safe and staying stagey. Goodbye.